we're not really sure what it means to come to Jesus. That's where we've got stuck. How would you do that? And what would it actually look like? Now, David wrestled with that issue in the Old Testament. He recognized that his soul would find rest in God alone, but he wanted to press beyond the theory.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think some of us may be able to identify with David there. We do want to press beyond that theory.
Yeah, and if you're in that position today, I'm so glad that you're with us and that you're listening to the program. Maybe you have heard phrases like come to Jesus, believe in Jesus, and you say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, and yet nothing seems to be happening for me. And you're confused as to how this actually becomes a living reality, all that's promised in the Bible becomes a reality in your life. And what I want you to see today is that the Bible speaks about the mind and the heart and the will and the conscience, all that we've been speaking about in this Boardroom of the Soul series. And one of the problems that many people get into is just believing in my head, or else just having a feeling in my heart. And Jesus says, he's not simply laying claim to your heart or your head or just you believing or just you feeling something. He's saying, I want you to come and follow me. I want you, the whole of you, to yoke yourself to me. Steve, we're going to talk about what that actually looks like, what that actually means. And I hope and pray that today this will be a breakthrough moment for some folks who've wanted to experience a greater spiritual reality, but not got there yet.
Well, I think you are talking to the reality of a lot of people, Colin. So I hope that you will open your Bible and join us in Matthew chapter 11 as we continue the message, Finding Rest and Restoration.
Jesus says to you, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, I think that there are some of us who have got to the point where we believe this. It makes sense to us that we're not going to get it sorted out without God. But here's our problem. We're not really sure what it means to come to Jesus. That's where we've got stuck. How would you do that? And what would it actually look like? Now, David wrestled with that issue in the Old Testament. He recognized that his soul would find rest in God alone, but he wanted to press beyond the theory. It couldn't just remain out there as something that he believed. And he says, again, in Psalm 62 in verse 5, he says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. You see, he's not just believing something now. He's doing something. He's speaking to his soul. He's bringing his soul to God. Now, it seems to me that that's where some of us have encountered problems. I want to try and open that up just using our model in a way that I hope will be helpful this morning. Let me introduce you to two representative characters who I've named at random, John and Mary. See if you recognize them. John was brought to church when he was young. He can't remember a time when he didn't believe. He believes in God and in Jesus Christ. He believes Christ died for his sins and on the third day rose again. John did well at school and then he launched himself into business. After 10 years, he started his own company that has been successful. His business is the biggest thing in his life, and though he has a wife and three kids whom he loves dearly, it remains the most important. John still attends church, and he finds it interesting. But he finds it difficult to get motivated, he says. And yet there is a great hunger within his soul. Now let's just think for a moment about what has actually happened in John's soul. Early on in life, mind came to believe in Christ. But at least from the information here, imagination has never been captured. In fact, imagination is pursuing another dream that he's embraced. Heart has never been engaged, and so will finds it hard to get motivated. So what's going on inside John is that there is a division in the boardroom of his soul. Mind believes, But the rest of the board have never been persuaded. So instead of the whole soul coming to Christ, what happens is that the rest of the board members of John's inner life regard his faith as an interest of the mind. And so the soul itself remains restless. Now, let me give another variation of that. Let me introduce you to Mary. Mary went to the youth program in church, where she made some good friends. Over the years, a number of folks in the group spoke about coming to Christ. Some were baptized, some gave their testimonies. When Mary heard them speak, she wished that something special would happen to her like it had happened to her friends. She prayed about it, but for a long time, nothing seemed to happen. Then, one weekend, she was at a camp, and it happened. The crowd were sitting around a campfire, and everybody had been singing. Then some began sharing, and Mary just knew in that moment that God was real. She could feel the love of God flowing over into her heart. It was wonderful. She prayed a prayer of commitment, and she told her youth leader and her friends. Everyone was thrilled. It was one of the greatest nights of her life. That was 20 years ago. Now she is raising 3 young children, and although she enjoys being a mother, she has a restlessness in her soul. Sometimes she says God seems terribly far away from her. And now she has begun to wonder if what happened that night at the youth camp was just a youthful rush of enthusiasm. Now let's look at what's gone on inside Mary's soul. She came to Christ with her heart. There was no doubting the authenticity of that experience. But her problem was, at least from the information here, that her mind was never engaged. Listen to this from Os Guinness, who puts it so perceptively. The understanding was not in control at the time of faith, so it was not in control at the time of doubt either. The emotions were everything when faith was there, and now that doubt is there, the emotions are still everything. All that really is different is that they have changed sides. In other words, what Mary has known, despite the authenticity of her emotional experience, is simply that she has had different experiences at the emotional level, which is another way of describing mood. She's responded to Christ with her heart, but not with her mind. So there's a division within her soul in which heart says, it's real. I know it's real because I felt it. And mind says, I don't think so. And then heart says, well, right enough, I don't feel it now. And it won't be long before heart gives in to mind because the heart can't embrace what the mind won't believe. Now, do you see where we're going with this analogy? You could spin it in all kinds of ways with different members of the soul who individually come to Christ. But the point I want to make is this. That when Jesus said, come to me, he was speaking to your whole soul and not part of it. The Holy Spirit may begin a work at any level. The Spirit of God may begin a work in Mary's heart round the campfire with a true experience of the outpouring of the love of God, but it can't end there. Conversion is not the persuasion of one member of the boardroom of the soul. Conversion is the bringing of the whole soul to Jesus Christ, and that is where we find rest. And some of us have never found rest because we've never known what it is to come to Christ with our whole soul. We just believed it since we were a child, which is a function of mind. We just felt it when we were at some convention, which is a function of heart. I'm not doubting the authenticity of these things. I'm questioning the adequacy of these things. There is no rest within your soul until the board is agreed. If the board is not agreed, the board cannot act. Listen to how Moses put it in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 10. Turn to the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. That's the only way you can come to the Lord. With all your soul. Jesus said, come to me. You who are weary, you who are burdened, this is what you've got to do. Come to me. But not a part of you, the whole of you. All that is within you. Okay, you say, that makes sense to me. I can see why there wouldn't be rest for the soul unless the whole soul comes to Jesus Christ. But what does that look like? And Jesus spells it out right here in Matthew 11, verse 29. Look at it. Two things. Take my yoke upon you. That's the first thing. And learn of me. That's the second. That's what it looks like to bring your whole soul to Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Finding Rest and Restoration, part of our series, Battles from the Boardroom of the Soul. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported broadcast. We depend on your generosity to keep this program on the station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book called Walking with God, written by J.C. Ryle. And Colin, why did you pick this book?
Oh, well, because it is so practical and so full of wisdom. And the title describes it well. It's all about what it looks like to walk day by day with God. J.C. Ryle was a bishop in the Church of England in the 19th century. He's one of my very favorite writers. And when he's writing on walking with God, he's at his very best. I mean, he has chapters here on prayer, on reading the Bible, on love. He has a chapter on illness. He has a chapter on happiness. And they're all so practical and so directly from the scripture and so wonderfully related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the things he says are just so helpful and insightful. Listen to this on prayer, Steve. Praying and sinning will never live together in the same heart.
That's good.
I find that really helpful. He says prayer will choke sin, or sin will choke prayer. I find that really, really helpful.
Yeah.
In other words, if I give myself to prayer, there's going to be a power in that that in its very nature will be expelling to sin. That's the kind of practical wisdom that we need. And then, of course, the next question is, well, how do I pray? Well, read the chapter. Walking with God by Bishop Ryle is really rich, and it will take you through a very practical guide to what it looks like to walk with God every day.
We want to send you a copy of this book, Walking with God, as our thank you gift to you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Take my yoke upon you. Now, the yoke was a harness, really, that tied two animals together to keep them in line when they were plowing a field. And once you were in a yoke, you couldn't get out of it. So when Jesus invites you to take his yoke on you, he's inviting you into a relationship that is binding. Now, there are some people who want to walk with Jesus, but they also want the freedom to depart from Jesus when he takes a difficult path. And if that's where you are, there will be no rest for your soul in that. No rest for the soul comes to those who are ready with their whole selves to yoke themselves to Jesus Christ. Coming to Jesus means I bind myself to him. Wherever you go, I go. Whatever you lead, I follow. Whatever you say, I do. Not only is it a binding relationship, when Jesus uses this picture of the yoke, it is an exclusive relationship. Think of these two animals being harnessed together. You cannot be yoked to many people at the same time. Take my yoke upon you, says Jesus. You get bound to me. Now, if I'm to yoke myself to Jesus, that does mean that I've got to detach myself from other yokes. And the problem for some of us is that we never really get yoked to Jesus because we are already yoked. Christ says, take my yoke upon you. And we say, sorry, Lord, I'm already yoked to pleasure. I'm already yoked to popularity. I'm already yoked to success. Or perhaps worst of all, I'm already yoked to myself. Now, Christ says you've got to break up that yoke. There's an intentional decision there, and you take my yoke upon you. This is a binding, exclusive, and purposeful partnership. Because, of course, the purpose of the yoke is to make sure that these two animals keep together in plowing the field. There's a purpose to it. And the yoke makes it possible for you to play your part in his purpose. It delivers you from doing your own thing out there in the field and missing the purpose for which God brought you into the world. Take my yoke upon you, says Jesus. And there will be times when in this yoking to Christ, you pull against the cord that binds you to him. There'll be times when it hurts. There will be times when you say, I wish I could go that way. And he says, you're yoked to me, I'm going this way. But I will tell you that on the last day when you see Jesus Christ, you will be so glad that you are yoked to him. Take my yoke upon you. And then he says, here's another thing that's involved. Learn of me. Get yoked to me. Start learning from me. Now, Jesus is using, again, a very simple picture here. He's saying, you have to enroll as a pupil in my classroom. Learn of me. Now, some of us have a problem there because we would rather see ourselves as sitting on the board of examiners. You see, we want to come to God with our questions, as if he needed to pass our test. We have questions for you, we say. We're the board of examiners. And we hope that you can come up with some good answers because we've got a pretty tough test that we've set for you. Now, there are people who come to God like that. And God will never answer you if you come to him like that. He never will. He does not need to sit your test. And as long as you try and approach God as if you were his examiner, you will never find rest for your soul. Now, says Jesus, this is how you must do it. If you're going to come to me, then it's got to be on this basis. Just resign from your supposed position on the board of examiners and enroll as a pupil in my class. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You ready to learn from Jesus? You ready to let him be your teacher? You ready to let him decide what he will teach you now rather than you setting all the questions for him? Will you allow him to lead you into all truth through his word, which is the truth? Christ will not answer your every question. But when you are ready to learn from him, he will show you the Father. And he will give you rest for your soul. Are you weary? Burdened? Here's the invitation. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And here's what it'll look like. It'll be a taking of my yoke upon you, a binding, exclusive, and purposeful partnership together. And it'll mean you resigning from the board of examiners and being ready to be a pupil and allow me to teach you through my truth. Learn of me. And finally, and very briefly, here's the promise. I will give you rest. That's his promise. So in these last moments, I want you to imagine Christ himself coming into the boardroom of the soul where the members of the board are seated round the table. And now Christ comes into the boardroom and he looks each one in the eye round the table, looking at your mind, your heart, your imagination, your memory, your conscience, your will. And he has something to say to each one. Mind, he says to your mind. Come to me and let me from this day be your teacher. Will, he says to your will, come to me and let us get yoked together. Imagination, come to me and embrace a new dream that's bigger than your work, bigger than your family, bigger than your pleasure. In fact, your work, your family, your pleasure will all be subservient and offered up to this dream. It is the greatest dream a man or a woman can ever know, to live your life for the glory of God who made you and with whom you will spend all eternity. Embrace that dream imagination. Memory? I want you to come to me, Christ says. Can you hear him say this to your memory? The past is the past and you cannot change it. But the past doesn't need to be your prison house. It can be your launch pad. He says to you, I can redeem your past. I can take everything that has happened to you, what you wished had never happened to you, and I can make that the place where God's glory, his redeeming power, is made real in your life. I can make that the backdrop against a new work of God that will be for his glory and for his honor. Conscience, I want you to come to me. I want you to bring that burden. What matters is not whether you can forgive yourself, not whether someone else will forgive you, but what matters most is, will I forgive you? And conscience, if you will bring that burden of your guilt to me, I will forgive you and I will give you rest. And heart, I have something to show you. See my hands. See my side. I love you. And I want to pour that love that I have for you into you so that you may reflect it back and so that it may radiate from you out into a broken and wounded world. The members of the board were strangely quiet. For the first time, they glimpsed a possibility that none of them had ever seen before. If the whole soul were to come to Christ, the whole soul would be united together. If every member of the board were under his lordship, there would be a whole new basis for operation, a whole new ground of agreement, a whole new vision, purpose, and direction. There's so much I don't understand, says Mind. But I do believe what he's saying to me, and I want to start learning from him. I'm tired of small dreams, says Imagination. This is the first time I've ever been invited to be part of something bigger than myself. I've been thinking, says Will, that if I yoke myself to him, I tie myself to the power of God. And if I align my will with his will, then that will get done. It never occurred to me before, says Memory, that the pain I live with could actually become the place where God is glorified. What better thing could I do with what is wretched in my past than offer it up to him and ask him to redeem it? I've tasted love, says Heart. Sometimes it was sweet, sometimes it was bitter, but I have never tasted anything like this. I've carried my burden too long, says Conscience. I've tried to forgive myself, but the burden is still there. I long to be able to lay it down. The motion was that we come to Christ. Let's call the question. The motion was carried unanimously.
What a great way to end today's message, by looking at the members of the board and seeing how they decide to place all that's happened into Christ's hands, to give that to him unanimously. You know, I hope that's a decision that you've made, that you want to take all that's happened in your life and to place it into Jesus' hands, to give it up to him, to ask him to take your life, to make it what he would have it be. And maybe you've come to that point today as you've listened to this broadcast or to this series, Battles from the Boardroom of the Soul. If so, I hope you'll contact us here at Open the Bible. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. We have pastors and staff members who would love to talk with you about beginning that relationship with Jesus. Again, our toll-free number is 1-877-673-6365. You can also reach us through our website. It is openthebible.org. And that's a great place to go if you want to find out a little bit more about this ministry and about Pastor Colin. Again, our website address, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Jesus Christ did not come into the world to offer you a passport. He came to draw you into a relationship. Find out what that means on the next Open the Bible.